Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. Well, or Natural Recovery from the Avoidant Spiritual Path, either one. This is Scott Killaby. The compassion in me just wants to say, there is something missing, and you can trust that, because you've felt that all your life. It's not always going to be there, but to say it's not there, or to spiritualize it away, or to point to awareness so that you have a momentary reprieve from that. I mean, when you go home, or if you already are home, as soon as you walk into the room with your partner or your friends or whatever you saw with me is probably out the window, unless you've really woken up to what you are and done some work. Well, what I was thinking about right before I started this episode is how, when I used to teach, I would never state viewpoints. I would only point to presence, because that's what repression does. It doesn't want to state an opinion or give too much of a perspective, other than, can we all just rest and let everything be so we can be at peace and nobody can be angry? But when I was doing that, when I remember back to it, I can see the codependency in it. I can feel myself years ago as a teacher. If I would have turned on a podcast like this, I would have started just pointing. And probably for this subject, pointing to how it seems like there's something missing, but there's not really. And then if you go and investigate it, it's just a belief. And if you see that, then it no longer feels like there's something missing by the end of the podcast episode. And then you love me. I get your approval, but I don't register that. That's happening from my unconscious level. We both stay safe from whatever's buried, because it might look like I get you to it, but if I really get you to it, then you learn how to do it. Why would you keep coming back? Unless we're both trying to stay safe and get love. And therein lies the avoidant spiritual path. So some of the greatest teachings in the history of man were pointing people out of this avoidance. Because this avoidance is coming from the same suffering that, well, say it this way, the buried emotions that create our suffering, the childhood buried emotions that we avoid, which create our suffering, continue to drive us on a spiritual path so that we stay safe and get love. Just as we did with kids, as kids, instead of find the freedom or the true alleviation of the suffering, which from the unconscious level we don't want. Remember this, we want to stay safe and get love at a level that we can't detect, because that's the conditioning that drives us, the survival conditioning. And it's wrapped up into emotions that we've buried, and we don't feel those either. So what's driving us is entirely unconscious. It's emotions that we've buried and conditioning. I have to stay safe and get love that we cannot detect. And if you read the trauma research, you can understand that that's the case. But to be unconscious to it in your life, and then to live your life, you know, of course, in the stories, the narratives, the beliefs, the suffering, the addictions, the depression, the chronic pain, all of that being driven by the same need for love and safety coming from the repressed emotions. We're actually creating our suffering because it's safer to suffer than it is to feel and express what's true to people, including to our loved ones. These are emotions we've had buried forever. There's really no way to leave our own disconnection, our own bodies really, and our own lives and relationship, and really expect to have the true embodied freedom, because we're running from the very buried emotions that create suffering in relationship. So it means we're running, in other words, if we're trying to alleviate suffering, we're trying to alleviate that suffering. But if we don't get to the buried emotions that create the suffering in relationship, then we don't alleviate it. And what we do is we stay safe and get love. We continue to do that, which means we continue to suffer and avoid these buried emotions. This is why I came up with the three signs of an avoidant spiritual path to help people see it. So the first sign is disconnection, which generally we all have, the sense of separation, which and all the suffering that comes from that. So kind of everybody has that sign, but what you do with it is what matters. So number two is on the avoidant path is we find a mistress. So we find something where we can stay safe and get love, and that could be a person, a path, anything. But because we turn it into a mistress, which I'll explain, number three happens, which is we have to repeat the cycle of avoidance. We still have the disconnection of number one. So really, it's number two is where it gets interesting. In a number of ways, because, you know, look at what leads us to alleviate the suffering. You could say it's a sense of separation, but people often don't talk that way until they get around non-dual teachings. But it's really like a sense that something's wrong with me, something's lacking, something's missing. Well, something is lacking or missing, the buried emotions. So as long as those emotions are buried, we're going to experience the suffering that that creates, including identities and feelings of lack and deficiency, of a, you know, an identity of a separate self who's lacking and deficient, which is a distraction and keeps us safe from the fact that we've buried emotions and that believing in this identity of lack or deficiency is simply safer than feeling and expressing what's true to our loved ones. But this is so unconscious, we wouldn't know it. So we spin and sometimes toil about in not only believing these identities and core limiting beliefs and ego stuff, but also when we get to spirituality, focusing too much on who am I in that sense. Like, oh, here's this identity again. I will never investigate ego identity in the same way again because I know that we create it. So when somebody comes to me and they say, I'm feeling worthless, I'll say, you're not responsible for this in the sense of like, don't steal from people, but you're responsible for this. Like, it's not a moral or ethical thing, but that's coming from no one but you. And we just have to figure out why your system thinks it's safer to produce that suffering and that belief about you than it is to just feel and express what's true to people and be free. Because really, creativity, everything comes online, everything that's missing, sexuality, intimacy, when we feel and express what's true, when we embody who we are. But can you see what we're doing is we say that we're on a spiritual path, but if we're still driven by the need to stay safe and get love, if we have buried emotions, we're always turning everything into a mistress. We have to stay safe and get love. This is the bamboozle, but turned towards, you know, I talk about how we bamboozle ourselves, but towards the spiritual path and what we're doing. We turned it towards the bypass with KI, if you guys remember. We showed you that the bypass is that the repressed emotions right under things is they're eluding people on the spiritual path. So we showed you how to go there. But there's a linear thing. See, it's like this is the attachment style related to that, the anxious, the avoidant attachment, fearful, because this is how we disconnect, a lot of us, and avoid. And it, I don't know, just thinking of it as linear, whereas the repression is vertical, goes straight down into the body, there's the buried emotions, which is what we have to do for the avoidant path. It's all the same. But it's just another way of talking about how, in a linear sense, we go from one thing to the other thing, one teaching, one method, one video to the next, teacher to the next, person to the next. And, you know, we're told, or we might think, well, I'm looking for myself. You are. But the parts that you're looking for, you're not actually out there looking for those parts. You're looking for the opposite. In other words, the avoidant path is like, if somebody buries anger, they're not out there in the world looking for how to make anger conscious to end their suffering. They're out there like me, trying to find the peace and the presence and the safety. And, you know, stay safe, get love. But with any bypass, there's just enough benefit to it. You notice that? Like, if you're bypassing, you wouldn't even keep doing the thing if there wasn't some benefit. But by continuing to do it, you bypass or make an end run around buried emotions. And you turn it into a mistress. The highest heart sutras in Buddhism can be turned into a mistress. A Course in Miracles, as some would say, you know, as great as it is, can be turned into a mistress. Presence can be turned into a mistress. Anything that keeps us from the buried emotions. And if somebody has buried emotions and has a recognition of presence, well, they can stay safe and get love. By not going deeper than just that. Or we might have resistance to going deeper than just that. Some people. Not people that follow this work, but... Okay, so... But let's keep it to a theme here. I'm talking about something missing on the avoidant spiritual path, which I think is obvious. The buried emotions are what drives an avoidant spiritual path. The buried emotions are missing. Bring the buried emotions into awareness safely. KI, for example. Then there you go. That's it. But the avoidance is so... I mean, I just remember training people. Can I tell you guys stories that you would never hear, you know, about this anywhere else? Is how many times I've sat with, for example, these are folks with avoidant conditioning, have to get away, and buried anger quite often. But like people who were drawn to the love and light language and resonance of certain spiritual teachings. Me too. Rumi, for example. But Rumi, if you listen to Rumi, or not listen, but read that, he's not pointing to any bypass. We do that. We turn things into that. But people came here and they got a certain degree of freedom. Remember, we get a benefit, and then we have to stay safe and get love. So they came here and used KI just enough to get that benefit and then turned it into a mistress. And a group of them were kind of like, I got to go back to the love and the light, which is me back to their trauma response, because they're anger repressors. So they're going back to the, away from their buried anger, the driver of their suffering, back to the avoidance. But a lot of the time they'll catch themselves, because this is what we do here. And we talk to them about it, and then they'll catch themselves. But it's just so easy to do, to turn everything into a sabotage, because that's what we want at the unconscious level. It takes a degree of earnestness and skill, and in some degrees mentorship, truly with somebody who's done it before, so that you won't keep doing it. I've sat with people who will say, you know what, in every relationship, in some way, I mean, I remember this. I didn't know I was doing it. In every relationship, there was a disconnection. People told me this later when they did this work too. But like somewhere along the way, I disconnect. For me, it was like a kind of a shutdown. If somebody's energy got too big or angry, I would go quiet, and the present moment awareness would sort of enmesh with this shutdown state. Sort of like, don't say anything, you know? And that's often what somebody who might be really awake would do, is just let that be. But in my body, where the chronic pain was, there was a contraction of pain. It wasn't extra hard right there, or it didn't like contract a whole bunch, but I just accumulatively, or is that the word? Cumulatively stored anger throughout a lifetime there. So every time I did that and shut down with somebody, I was just storing it there. I learned later that freeze and shut down are to protect us from these buried emotions, including fear. So when we freeze or flee, we're protecting ourselves, not, of course, from other people, but really from ourselves. Our system is. So when I saw all this, and I saw how deep avoidance goes, because so many times I would cut and run from conflict and process the trigger. How many of you do that? That was how I got so sick, I think. And I'll tell you why. Because when we experience triggers, a lot of the time, it's because we haven't been clear on our side. We haven't stated something that's really important to us. A need, a want, a boundary. Anger repressors especially. I mean, anyone. And then we get triggered because it's like they didn't live up to what we wanted. They're not, you know, they're not doing what we wanted. But how clear, when you have repression, you can't see it. How clear are you with the people that you love about what you really want and what's important to you? Our unmet needs are so connected to our buried emotions. Instead of being our authentic self and in a moment just saying what we need and what's important, we anger repressors will freeze and close down around that very important emotion of anger, but also just what we need and therefore who we are. So to go and pull away from that and just to process an identity on the surface, an ego identity, and just rest and let that be, is just does not do the job. There was a freeze happening and chronic pain developing during all the time I was pulling away to process triggers. So I wasn't getting to the buried emotions, the buried anger. Being upset or frustrated is not the same as anger, for all anger repressors listening. Because I would have these triggers and I'd be like, I'm upset, but that's not anger. And so I would process and allow the upset or the story or whatever, but, and then there would be peace. But you see, there was a need there for love or safety that I wasn't expressing. A trigger is that. It's like, you're not keeping me safe. You're not giving me the love I want or something. But it wasn't expressed. Not all triggers are like that. But a lot of it has to do with we're just not being authentic. And so that just entangles us in triggers. And then we go into like a false self or pointing outward, because we can't feel and express what's true, and we didn't, you know, earlier. And that's what I learned, is just this work is not about buried anger or hurt or sadness. It's about freedom. It's about being yourself, no longer suffering, compassion, infused with wisdom and authenticity, vulnerability that is real and not used as any sort of coping mechanism, but like real authenticity. And we're trying to avoid that like crazy. And if you could really see it, I think you have to do repression work to really see it, how broad it is. Like, for example, so much in the spiritual world and self-help world and therapy is coming from repression and trying to help people with repression. People pleasers, you know, the nicest, kindest, check this out, most peaceful, good people could easily, when you meet them, be raging underneath in a way that they don't even know. And the whole niceness that you see is like a coping mechanism for them. But they can't see it. And you might be surprised at how common that is. But a good way to survive in the world when you have buried rage is to be someone who doesn't look like they're raging. And helping other people even. I had to feel that rage. I had to feel it, to express it, to start expressing my needs and wants, to start being a full conscious human being. And then the anger could go that I had been storing. I had to be and become my authentic self, to embody this presence, not just be here now. What I learned about the avoidant spiritual path is that be here now is often like a disconnect, because it's like, it's the way I did it. I mean, but now we have iPhones, so if you're sitting next to your partner and you already have repression, you don't know it, and let's say you're shut down or you're quiet because you're suffering. Maybe you suffer loudly. Maybe you're yelling at your partner. That can happen too. But in any event, as you pull apart a little bit, notice if you can't resolve something. Because at least on your side, you can't feel and express what's really true. You may not know that that's why it can't be resolved, but it's repression that does it. And so if you just turn to your phone, pick up the latest meditation or the TED Talk that talks about this new technique or even KI, and in the moment that you look, the conditioning that wants to stay safe from these buried emotions that are creating this issue and get love still is looking. And so you may have the greatest intention. This is what sabotage is. The greatest intention to follow through with this and finally get to my suffering here. But you don't realize from the very beginning, the unconscious already has its own agenda. And so you might look at this really peaceful, wonderful, good person who's helping and come out of your phone. And you're like, yes. And it's just so natural. Somebody who's raging is coming at you with their niceness. And you're raging inside and you're looking for peace. And they look peaceful or they look like they're doing well. See, we trauma bond in such silent ways. Like the boundary crossing in spirituality is only partly the sexual and other physical boundary crossing. It's an emotional boundary crossing from people in repression who think they can help and change other people, or not even change them, wake them up. Here's what I've seen about avoidance and how it goes both ways. And it's innocent, but it's problematic, actually. See, if you come to me and you say nothing is, or something is missing for you, you're just telling me the truth of your experience. In the absolute sense, if there's nothing missing, if I say that, it doesn't meet you and you still have the sense that something is missing. So, but then if I turn to you and say, well, my experience is nothing is missing, can I show you that shift into seeing that nothing is missing? And you say, yes, please. And I say, okay, but here's the thing. If I have buried emotions, I can't show it to you because those buried emotions are missing. There's still suffering there for me, even if it's my codependency to help you. So as I go to help you, I'm going to be steering you away from the buried emotions. But I might steer you into some sort of experience or shift where it seems like nothing is missing, even if it's only for a moment or a retreat. Or a retreat plus some days after, it might seem like nothing is missing. But something is still missing. The buried emotions. And when you're solidly back into your relationships, the sense that something is missing will come back. And that's the avoidant spiritual path. That's a big part of it. Is people thinking they can help other people see that nothing is missing. People who haven't yet embodied that, and so who may be avoiding themselves, trying to help other people, and then crossing boundaries into someone else's experience and guiding them and teaching them how to perhaps avoid buried emotions, but just to see that nothing is missing in any given moment. And then that person, like me, gets sick because all I cared about with anger repression was, I'm okay now. You know what I mean by that? That's, to me, is one of the biggest anger repression responses, or it can be. It's like, can I just be okay now? If I can be good and peaceful, that's even better. You know, if I can get something out of it, out of being here, that's how repression is. If I can stay safe, get love, approval, great. But be here now and be okay now was very addictive to me with buried anger, in a not healthy way, actually, because it really, and people were guiding me, see, from their own repression, they were guiding me. But see, unconscious people, when being here now, are avoiding buried emotions. They're actually keeping down and out of consciousness what's missing. And so the main duality isn't being dealt with. To me, the main duality is we bury, for example, anger, and at the surface, we show the opposite. I'm good. I'm peaceful. I'm okay now. No, you're not. you're raging at the unconscious level, or we're at the unconscious level, we're deeply hurt and afraid of that. But at the conscious level, we're big, and maybe we're talking about big realizations even, or we're something opposite. See, until we deal with that, we really shouldn't be helping other people. That's what I was doing, is I was helping people from a duality that involved codependency, and I was a pretty nice guy doing it. I was really peaceful. I'm not the only one. The avoidant spiritual path is like anything, it's relationship and it's two ways. We're all getting something out of it. Until, and it's not money to me. I think that's just been a misplacement. Of course, you can charge too much, or it doesn't feel like it's worth the services, or somebody can be greedy. But most of the people I know in spirituality, they're not really greedy. They just want, like me, to pay the bills and to be able to retire and not have to be mentoring people when I'm in a wheelchair. No, the currency to me is we get love and safety. And it's okay, because that's just what's happening. To be against it? For what? I've already discovered my buried anger. To me, this is about love, because I think that people, there are no people, you could say, but that we, even though we are driven by the need for love and safety, that we can envision life without suffering. That's why we come to a spiritual path, that we know it's possible, actually. But unfortunately, because we're driven by the need for safety and love, by no fault of our own, because we're driven by it, we just settle constantly, you could say, for safety and love. And we don't know we're doing it. That's the whole thing. We tell ourselves at the conscious level that, well, I'm awake, you know, or I've got this spiritual resume, I've done this processing, I did this work. It doesn't matter. Because if there's a duality right here where you're bearing emotions right here, right now, you're in avoidance. This is how it is. It doesn't make you bad or good, it just makes it unconscious. I'm almost finished. Give me just a few more minutes here, 5 to 10 minutes of your time, to talk about what's missing and how to. See, I don't want to show you how to have the experience that nothing is missing. I want you to discover what it is that's missing in you, like what's really missing. If you say it's a story, you process that story. If there's a story that says you're not good enough and you think that that's it, and that identity and those feelings that you should just process or be with that, then do it. I did. See where it goes. But that's not it. It's deeper than that. That's a distraction. But you have to find out for yourself. And you may have to suffer in doing so. I did. But no, it's deeper than that. And we're holding it in the body. And if you get to it early, like we do in KI, you have a shot at ending suffering. That's what we've learned. So what we're doing with KI, so that you know, is that we're helping people meet the fundamental need that wasn't met when they were kids, but not as a parent would, like giving you love and approval and meeting all your needs, but instead pointing back to the fundamental need that wasn't met. In other words, if you would know what you are and could allow all of your experience, you wouldn't be suffering. You would have grown up to be a conscious, loving, authentic being, exploring and creating the world, creating the world, actually. but that's not you. In this world, that's not us. And so we don't discover what we are. We can't allow all of our experience. And so the fundamental need isn't met. And then these other needs come up, like I need your love and approval, and I need safety and attention. Mom and dad, because mom and dad, you didn't help me discover this, what I am. So I have to look to you for safety and to know I'm loved and I'm okay. Okay now. And then we keep doing it with other people. We keep doing it on the avoidant spiritual path, still looking for safety and love, those kind of secondary needs. But we come on a path really to, don't we, to discover what we are, like the fundamental need. The place where we go astray, you could say, is because we're driven by the buried emotions, we tend to only go, many of us, for I just want the one part of it. I want to wake up. I don't want to allow all of my experience, in other words. And so the fundamental need isn't met. And then we still need safety and love because that part of it we didn't allow, the buried stuff, still contains that conditioning. So we may even like do meditation or mindfulness and get a sense of being here now, but with the buried stuff still there, and we're not allowing our experience, we have to sit there and be aware of more and more suffering. And then keep chasing the end of that, driven by the buried emotions that we didn't get to. But here at KI, we say get to those first with, well, along with, be here now. That way you have everything you need to meet that fundamental need. You have the pointing to presence and making that important, but you also have getting to the buried emotions that create the suffering and create the avoidance. And when you do that, you're definitely going to avoid when you get here. Well, that's just what people do. But KI, instead of, you could turn it into a mistress and then you would probably leave, sabotage it. But you could turn it in more to a companion. And the visual that I'm giving you is like, if you look at the three signs again of the spiritual path, don't turn to KI to process triggers or to feel better. Even though KI will make you feel better, you're not really turning to it for that reason, because one of the markers is that you transmute the actual frozen fear in your body. So you're looking for that. You're not just looking for feeling better or being more present. That happens too. But look for the deep changes, because that's what matters. The changes in your body, that's what makes the changes, the transformation in your life and your relationships. And you should see all of that happening with KI, like changes happening in your life. And if you're not, and you're not seeing the frozen fear transmuting fairly consistently in your life with KI in a regular daily practice, stop. Because you're trying to turn KI into a mistress. So these markers where you notice transmutation and that your system is regulated at least somewhat or enough to keep moving in through the process, and you see changes, benefits in your life, those are all things that you should see pretty consistently. If you don't see them at any point, consistently stop. Because then by stopping, we can help you not turn KI into a mistress. But you have to come to like mentorship or do a session or something, because you're doing something with the work that you probably usually do, like disconnection, avoidance, some sort of bypass. You're not going to something. There's something from childhood that's scary. It keeps pushing you away. And of course you can leave and not get the skills, but doesn't that defeat the point of why you came here? Unless you're just continuing to be driven by the need for safety and love, and you're not willing to look at it here. See that? Because if you're not willing to look at it here, it's going to drive you to the next mistress. And you're going to see that something is missing, and that's what you're looking for. Don't get entangled in the identities that something is missing, because something is missing in your body, and that's what's driving you from one thing to the other. And if you wake up to awareness, don't think that you're outside of the avoidant pattern. Now you could have what is quite natural, an avoidant realization. Because if the buried emotions are there, if you can't still allow all of your experience, that's going to create avoidance. This is why teachers, again, they get a mistress, they cheat on their spouse, or they get sick and they have to go to the doctor who becomes a mistress, because the doctor doesn't get to the buried emotions. I mean, the avoidance just continues until any human being, when they're ready, doesn't just wake up to awareness, but allows all their experience. And it's the non-allowing of our experience. It's the resistance that creates the suffering. Recognizing the presence is just the beginning, because the suffering doesn't come from the fact we didn't recognize presence. The suffering comes because we have to stay safe and get love. We have to believe these things and do these things and avoid to continue staying safe and getting love until we get to the buried emotions. I hope that's helpful and not confusing, but if it is, you know, sometimes our system just confuses us. It's just life, and we've got ways to deal with that too. But go to repressiontest.com if you're just more curious and you haven't joined our newsletter. And if you're just ready to start the work, I've put links in the description of each podcast, so you can just click right on that link and without sabotaging, without avoiding, getting started with us, like in a on your own, learning how to do it, or with one of us trainers, mentors.